There is people that live in this life and that have lived this life that the odds are against them. Now God can do anything. But there is people that are so impoverished in this life that they hardly could think of anything but where they're going to get their next meal from. Their whole desire and ambition of life, their whole thought of life is, how are we going to survive? There's people that poor. There's people that have under the normal stresses of life and problems that come. There is people that are so degraded and run down of life, they only can think of survival and hardly can think of anything beyond what it would take. And when you and I talk about things like, well, we know it's wrong to steal, but it would be hard to tell a young fella that ain't eaten a week that he shouldn't take that apple if he can get his hands on it. I'm not saying that there's not a grace of God, but there is people that are in a place that it's hard. And this man wasn't in that place. The story that Jesus told of him was that of all people that should have made it right. He had ample opportunity. He wasn't stressed with life. He had everything there before him. If any people ought to have, he should have. If any person ought to. And folks, look at the time we live in. Look at the time we live in. There's been ages and ages of time that people could hardly even get their hands on scriptures. They could hardly even be able to get the Word of God into their language or into them and know very little and just strive to get what they could and struggle with it. But think of our lives. Think of the opportunity and time that we have to get it right. We have abundance of we don't have to worry about where the next meal comes from, usually. I mean, we don't have to worry about the enemies of ours of some reason or another, or ethnic or racial or whatever it is, storming in and blasting us down. We're not stressed with those kind of things, that we have to worry that challenges our minds against other righteous thoughts. We have all those things. I have a question for you. What do you think that the rich man would give for time? He don't have time. His time ran out. Jesus told the story of him and said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torments. He lifted up his eyes. Time had ceased to exist. The precious thing to us tonight is that we have time. I'm not saying I know how much you have, but I know as of this moment you have time because you're alive. You're here. Time is yours tonight. Time is a precious, precious thing because it's in time that we work. It's in time that we deal. It's in time that we make things better. It's in time that we work the works of life. It'll be in this time whether we find forgiveness for our fellow man. It'll be in this to whether we get the things right in the life. It'll be in this life what we're judged for. Of the way we handle this life is the way we'll be judged. But the idea of having time tonight is precious to us. We ought to take it, not as the idea that I may have an extended period of time, but just the fact that I have time. Time to make sure that it's right with my soul. Time to make sure that I have everything settled between me and my fellow man. Time is our precious commodity tonight. It is the most precious of commodities. Over in Ecclesiastes 9, I want to look at Ecclesiastes 9, but I want us to remember what the writer of Ecclesiastes said in Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season, every time, every person is talking about time and the things under the sun and things that we have to do. And there's a time for all of this in life. And there's a, and There, in everything that he suggested is done in time. None of it was done outside time. What we have to do, we must do it in time. He says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this. The righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. We'll read that again. For all this I considered in my heart, even declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. And now what the writer here is talking about, he makes a positive statement of something that you and I have our faith in. That if you live right and you live before God, you are in his hands. He is, because he's going to say some things here, and he wants to make a declaration first that God watches over them that serve him. We count on that, don't we? I'll be honest with you. I count on that. I hold on to that to know that even though I look and see things that doesn't look good, doesn't look right, my heart goes back, my mind goes back to say, God knows. Our God will not forsake his people. This might look bad. It might look like something that you can't go through. It might look like it's a terrible thing. But we have to have our faith in this idea that God has us in his hands. It's a must that we believe that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's our faith that God is. If God isn't taking care of us and we're only out on a whim, anything can happen. But it's not true. And so the statement is made, and it's a positive one. God is watching out for us. But as we look at life, as we look at the life around us, it isn't always going to look that way. That's what the second part of that statement's about. You may try to judge it. You may try to judge life by, it says love or hatred. Who can know how I'm felt? How can you look at my life and know, if you was to look at my life, if somebody would look onto my life and try to make a judgment about whether God loves me or not simply by that, and they look at it and said, well, he lost his wife. He was with had four little children. Well, look at this problem that happened to him. And look at this accident that happened. And look at this problem. You may be like Job's comforters and say, you done something wrong. You made mistakes here. You must have done something right. It's impossible to judge. He says, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificed not. As it is good, so it is the sinner. As it is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. He listed a whole bunch of opposites here in life, and to say, try to make a judgment about it, and say one seems to be doing anybody. There is, he made a statement, God watches over the righteous, we know it, but we can't look at things and judge it to say that we shouldn't even try. Our faith is and has to be that God is God. He's who he says he is, regardless of what comes into our lives. God is God. That's what his role is. And you may look and say, why is the sinners prospering? And those that serve God aren't. I want to tell you why. Time. We ain't got a lot of it. And God wants to work in our lives. That's why. In the story of the rich man The realization of God and time never sunk in. It never sunk in. He fared sumptuously every day. He was healthy. He was well. He fared well. Life was good to him. And he never got to that place. Sometimes, folks, to really understand something, you have to experience something. You can be told things and never understand them or never let them sink in. I'm going to preach a message tonight about time. And time's going to run out for every one of us here. But will we act like it? Those that start feeling it will start acting like it. Those that start seeing the realization that life is short will start responding to it. But it's a fearful thing not to respond to time, because it's only in time that you can change anything. If you got anything to change, you got to do it in time. You say, well, I've got time and I'll change it sometime. That's a trick of the devil. Somewhere off in the distance, I'll change. Time is the place we change. We've got the opportunity to change because we have time still yet. We've got an opportunity to repent tonight. If you need to repent, you've got to do it in time. We used the illustration already this meeting, but there was a time where the Lord told Noah to build an ark, and he did, and he was faithful, and he built it. And there, and in the process of time, there come a time where the Lord told it's drawing near, get everything in the ark. And when he got everything in, the Lord shut the door. There is a symbol in it, because there's going to be one of these moments of our existence, the door is going to shut. By the Lord. Oh, I wish I could make this as graphic as I feel it, because there's an urgency about it. The Lord is sending an urgency to our souls. We need to feel the urgency of our time. That we have to be able to alter the things of life. If we have life, it's for the living. I wish I could quote this too. My mind's poor, but I'll try to get the best I can. But we went up to see the George Washington Carver Museum. I was absolutely fascinated by the guy and some of the things that he was just an incredible, remarkable man. And one of the things that and I can't quote it, I wish I could, but he said this of his existence, that it was a great privilege to have been allowed to live. And he said no man ought to take that life and do nothing with it. Because he so valued God giving him life that he said no man had the right to take that life given to him and not accomplish or do something with it. And so it is, I don't think that you have to have your name on a monument or do you have a road name for you or do anything like that. But I agree with George Washington Carver. It'd be a shame to be given time. Time to live life. Time. To find the God that created you. Time. To be able to be made into His image. Time. For God to work. It takes time for God to do that. So He give us time. So that He can work His image in our life. Do you know, honestly, there's this whole idea that there's wisdom in the gray hair. There's not necessarily wisdom in the gray hair. It's supposed to be wisdom in the gray hair. There's supposed to be the more time you've been able to exist, the more time you have to become like the Lord. The more time you have to understand the deeper things of the Lord. The more time we have, it oughtn't be that I have more time to build up great accounts. Or I have more time to build an empire. Or to conquer other people. Or some of the things that people have think, but I have more time to be refined into the image of God. That's what George Washington Carver was saying, that he had time to be refined into the Lord and be made like the Lord. Tonight, the refining, all the time we get is for the refining of God's purpose in our lives. To be made better. You say, well, I can't do much for the Lord because I can't speak. You can be refined into it, brother. You can say, I can't do nothing for the Lord because I ain't got any gifts. You can be refined into it. You can be refined into that place of the Lord knows how to work with our lives. But He doesn't use it, do it for us. He gives us time to pursue, to seek, to find what the Lord would have for each and every one of us is there. And God loves us and is going to stay with us, but it's a process that He gives us. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is no event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. What a sad, sad account. They go to the dead. Now, everyone in here knows that. But if you knew it was imminent, if you knew that it was pervading you now, if it was closing out, if you was able to look into God's moments, if you was able to look into the eternal part that it belongs to you, and you was to look at your hourglass, your time, and the sands was about gone. The idea of not being around would bring, I would hope it would bring a realization to each and every one of us about our mortality. And that there is something we're going to have to face. Listen, you're going to have to face this. One of these days I'm going to bury you, or you're going to bury me. We're going to look down upon one another's face. What, some way or another, whatever it's going to happen because it's been happening and it's going to go on happening. Just that way. And we look at a congregation like this. I've said this many times. It's come into my mind and heart many, many meetings. Almost every meeting I'm in, when I look into the face of a crowd like this, I'm wondering at this time next year, who's going to be laid to rest? Because it is almost always true of a congregation this side that somebody in it that's there is gone by the next year. It happens over and over, year after year. The reality of it is coming. Lord, help us. But we have time. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. You hear that? To him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. There is always hope in living. That is what the hope is. If the rich man could go back for a moment, what do you think the first thing that he would do if the rich man would go back for a moment after spending his eternity in hell, his afterlife in hell, in the torment that he wished that one drop of water could be placed to his tongue, unending, unyielding, unmerciful, nothing there for him. What do you think he could do if he could get a glimmer of time? I wonder if a man could repent that fast. I wonder if he would be allowed to have just a couple moments, snaps of a finger of time, if what he would do with them. I think he'd be ready to say that when he snapped the finger, I can say, Lord, forgive me and have mercy on me. If I could only be in time long enough to make a difference in the way I dealt with life and what I did with it and never pursued. I wore purple. I ate a lot, always thick around the middle. I had all those things going for me, but I never found God. I was never made in His image. I never changed anything. I lived this life, and the best I got, I got some fame. I got some infamy because I'm in the Scriptures. I'm in the Scriptures as a man that lost his soul. A man don't have a right to live this life and not do something with it. God gives him something and gives him the time and opportunity to be able to be a righteous being. Somebody that God could work with and make into something. Lord, help us. You got a life tonight and you got life yet. And if you're hooked to all the living, there's still hope. There's hope for you. But you know what happens? I wish the Lord could help us here. Because what happens is, I remember years ago a minister said, in a meeting, he said, He was preaching it. He was starting a message on ruts. And he said, I feel like the unfortunate truth of this moment is that most people here will probably die just like they are. The way you are now, he said, is probably the way you'll die. Well, Lord help. Just like that. Well, I earned you. I got something I need to do. But you know, the moment put aside, the moment put aside is generally a moment put aside tomorrow or two. That thing that need is put aside. That seriousness. See, the idea of time is that I've got time now. I'm in present. It isn't the future or the past. It's about time. It's about right now. We're always in the moment. We live in the moment. And while you're hope to all the living, there's hope. There's hope for you to do whatever you need to do. There's a hope. Listen, I've been in this hope. I know what it is. There's a hope not only for the eternal world, but there's always a hope for better situations, isn't there? I always hope for better situations when they go sour on me. I used to work in the coal mines years ago. I crawled around in these dirty little coal mines. Sometimes the coal seam was about 36 inches, somewhere between 30 inches, 36 inches. And the water was 12 to 18 inches deep in there. Go figure. You can do the math on that. There ain't a lot of space around that. And we had to go in and work sometimes, and they had it out, pumped out of a lot of areas, but the work I had to do was all over the mines in different places. And so a lot of times I would go, and it would be cold in the wintertime, and under the underground it's usually about all the same, but the wind that they're ventilating the mine with is coming from 10 below outside, and I'm in there, and I get up to the water hole, and I look across there. This happened to me many, many times, and I know what my job was, and I know I was going to have to not wade. I was going to have to crawl out into the water, and Lord was my helper. And I'd go up there, and many times I would think, and I ain't going to sing for you. I wouldn't put you through it. But I got up there and I'd start singing, oh, wait on out in the water till the shoreline fade. I'd be just going right, doing my job, trying to do the best I could with what was there, and go out there and be out there in the middle of it, cold and miserable. And I'd say, time, don't fail me now. You go so fast when I'm having fun. Don't fail me. Time, keep going. And before long, I'll be in bed. Before long, I'm going to be in a warm shower, and I'm going to go to bed. And the only thing that it takes is time. Time keep going. Get me out of this place, oh time, I'd say. And keep on going. And you know what happened? I haven't been in the mines for, since 95. Time kept going all right. It made an old man out of a young one. And those times, though, was my moments. I don't have a right to live this life and not do something with it. That was time God gave me. And yeah, it was rough times. It was difficult at times to go through and say, I'm going to do this today, and tomorrow I'm going to have to come back in here and do this kind of stuff again. And I knew what it was like, and you have to do that kind of stuff. But you know, there was always hope. In the middle of a trial, there was always hope of something better. There was always hope for more. While you're living, while you're alive and hooked to the living, there's hope. There's hope that God will refine you, and you'll see the great gold in the purposes that you don't want to go through. God's got that for us. And what it takes, you're yielding your moment, your time. It's a time. Lord, thank you, we should say. We should say, thank you, Lord, for the moment that you refine me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me still time to get better. Thank you, Lord, to give time. Some people have these besetting things, and sometimes people have tempers that they haven't conquered. And sometimes people have insecurities they haven't conquered. And some people have just things that they haven't had in life, and it's troubling to them. But don't be disappointed or hopeless, because as long as you're hooked to the living, you might be able to You will be able, if you pursue the Lord and you give it to the Lord, you'll be able to someday lift your hand and say to the younger ones that come before you, I had that problem too. And the Lord helped me to conquer it before I had to face Him in eternity. I was able to conquer by the grace of God. Was able to get over those kind of things. I don't throw the hammer anymore. I don't kick the dog anymore. I don't do those kind of things anymore because the Lord helped me because He gave me time to do it. But you know what? You can have gray hair and be foolish. You don't have to let the moments make you better. You can make them make you worse. You can make a bitterness out of them. So somebody comes and you have a conflict with people. Conflicts with people are happening. They will always happen. But you can be made better by them. You can be made better. You don't have to be made worse. You can be made better by them. So some things that I haven't experienced, I've never experienced a bad marriage. I never experienced some of the things that people have when they've had to go through it. But there's people that have done it. But I'll say this. I don't have to know that situation to know this, that God is still God. And you can be refined in the moment. You can be made better by the moment, the time that we have. We can be made better by it. I don't know how long I'll live. But I've really been wanting the Lord to help me. Because I'm a needy person. You speak for yourself. But I'm needy. I need something from the Lord. All the time. To make me what He wants me to be. I need His strength and His power. I need the Lord to help me. He says, for him that is joined unto all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, I think that's kind of obvious. But there's a little bit more to the understanding. A lion wasn't disrespected. A lion was noble. When people thought of a lion, they thought, you better respect him. You better honor him. You don't play around with him. You don't tease him. You'll pull his tail. You don't stick something up in the air and jerk it away from him when he tries to get it. He's noble. He's proud. He's fierce. And he's something to be reckoned with. And they're looked at that way. Now, in today's modern time, you have your modern lap dog. But that's not what the scripture's talking about when it's talking about a dog that curls up on your lap and you scratch his head and he rolls over and you keep him bubble bathed up and some perfume on him and you keep him running around and he's a precious little thing to the family. Almost in some families, not mine, but in families, he's a part of the family. And I like little Domino. I don't know about the other dog, seems a little temperamental, but Domino is a good character. And it's a nice little dog. But that's not what the scripture's talking about when it says dog. Dog means something derogatory. Dog is a negative in the scriptures. Goliath said to David, will you come with me with sticks like I'm a dog? Because that was a derogatory. If you called somebody a dog, which they did in the scriptures, it was meaning that you were disgusting. You were filthy. And you were a dog. You were a dog. But it's still better to be a live dog than a dead lion. And the reason is because dead dogs can do something. There's still something that they can do. Dead lions can't. You know, you can build up all in this world that you can build up. You can get prestige and honor and you can become a dignitary. You could be elected office. You could get hit a heist to where everybody in Oklahoma knows you. You could do all that. But the warning is that a live dog is better than a dead lion. Because people of every stature of life ends up dead. And if they haven't been made in the image of Christ, they're dead. And there is something about being looked at as not worth much and despised that it somehow causes us to look for something that'll accept us. Man accepts you, you've got men accepting you. And it feels really good to be lifted up. But a lot of times it's the dog. It's the dog that has the need. There was a woman that came to the Lord. Remember? She brought, I think, a child for healing. Jesus says to her, well, is it proper for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs? You think the word dog means, didn't say lion, said dog. And give the bread to the dog? Yeah, but dogs are hungry, Lord. Dogs are hungry, Lord. She had faith there. Lord said that to her. And she said, true, Lord. True. That ain't claiming to be anything else. But it's an awful pity for somebody to live through this life and not do something with it. Lord, can you help a dog to be something? And said, that's true, Lord. But the dogs will eat the crumbs. Oh, the Lord blessed her. You because you were in need. It's better to be a dead, a live dog than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Listen to this. This sounds like, well, what kind of a statement is that? Of course. But there's meaning to this. He said, the living know they'll die. So let's get that out there. Because there's a given to it. If you know you're going to die, the given is that you would prepare for dying. The living know by the circumstances that have always been. My mom and dad are still alive. Dad will be 83. Mom's, I think she just turned 76. They're still alive. But their parents aren't. And in the natural course, mom and dad are going to die too. And my children's mom and dad's going to die too. And we know by the course of life about what it happens, and other things happen sometimes and go quick, but we know the approach is coming. And we know that right now, tonight, we have time. Time to shine. Time for the Lord to do something in our lives. Time for God to make a difference in us. We know we're going to die. You know it tonight. You know it. There's not... You just say, I know it. I know it. You should prepare. Every day ought to be a preparation for our last day. Lord, help us. We're living for the Lord, and we want to go to heaven. And every day is a preparating day. We should prepare our life every day to die. And you might not die you might live for 68, who knows? I don't know. But you still need to prepare because we know we're going to die. We know that. Don't let it sneak up on you. You know that. It means that you'll prepare. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. What he's saying is that once that moment happens, it's over. Over. If you got bitterness in your heart, it will be bitterness in your heart. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you will forever be unforgiving. The scripture, what is the scripture in, let me turn to it real quick. It's in Revelation 22. Ten says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. All right? The time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. This is the to wind up in the end of the human life. There is doctrine out there that people push that assume or say that the filthiness that you have in your life will be cleansed at death. Not according to the scriptures. You take filthiness to that place, it'll be filthy still. It's now that filthiness is cleaned up. It's by the blood of Jesus here in this life that it's taken care of. If you're unjust and you go out of this world, you'll be unjust still. You'll be unjust for eternity. There is no other place. There is no penitence that can be paid by your family that will buy you any better. If you go out of here filthy, you'll always be filthy. God is a loving, merciful God. He made a great system through the death of His Son Jesus to cleanse us of filthiness. Cleanse us up in time. In time. There is no plan after time. He said, and the Lord shut the door. All of the desires of the ministers. We may feel in our human way that if I couldn't open the door. Noah didn't shut the door. He can't open it. God closed it, signifying that when God closed the door, it's over. There is nothing else that can be done when God closes the door. And when death, that time, that moment's, Lord help us, we have time. Opportunity. How much? It doesn't really matter. But we have opportunity. God will figure out how much. But we have opportunity to be a saint of God. What's our desire and purpose tonight? What's your desire and purpose tonight? What is the grandest thing that you can achieve? Would you like to have Bill Gates' money? Hey, you would be known if you had that kind of money. Would you like to have some dictator's power? You'd be known. You would have something. What's your ambition tonight? Because you have time. Do you know you have time to pursue life? You have time tonight to pursue what you're going to do. You have time to say, talk to people. You have time to invite people to the Lord. You have time to tell somebody that you love them. You have time to express yourself to people around you. You have time to make who you are known. You have time. You have time to seek the Lord. You have time to find His pleasure in your life. You have time to alter and change the things that ain't right. You have time to be a different person than you are if you need to be. You have time to be worked out. You have time to alter the thing. And there are some times that I'd like for it to happen in an instant, but don't normally do that. And I want to tell you this, that if you're an impatient person and you need patience, God can make you patient. God can give you patience. Patience is a work of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So more of the Spirit. But I want to tell you, God wants to work in our life. And you know what? The only thing it's going to need is some time. Time. Because tribulation worketh patience. So I want to be patient. I have more of the Lord. I want to be more like the Lord. The Lord knows how to do it. And we have time to do it. But the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Do you know that is so true? Love or hate, envy, or good deeds, opening the door for somebody, helping somebody, whatever it might be, you'll live your life. I don't even know my great grandpa's name. If I thought about it and went, oh yeah, that was his name. Don't really remember. I know I don't remember my great grandmother's name. I mean, mom and dad, but mom and dad's going to die. My children don't know, so who's going to remember them? Nobody. Time will erase it all. But they live this life, and no one has a right to live it for nothing, because it's something God gave for something. We ought to make something out of our time. We've got time. I think about it all. I told my wife today, I think about this quite a bit. We're raising children. We got busy with things. We do things. We have meetings, that kind of things. But I was thinking beyond that, if the Lord would grant us some time after that, what would I want to do with that? I was telling my wife, you know what? It'd be really nice if me and you could just take out and go and just, I really would like to do this. If we could just go and we could just hit the old folks' homes and the hospitals and just go in and visit people that need to be visited. You know, we go in old folks' homes quite a bit and go in and sing and stuff. And you know, one thing I noticed about them, they always want you there. It's amazing. I mean, they want you to visit them. And they usually say, you're not leaving yet, are you? No, I mean, they want you to visit. And you know, my wife, she'll go as places as this, and it works real good because she'll go in a lot of times and she'll go in and she'll talk to me and she'll say, would you like to have prayer? And they just don't turn you down, do they? I just don't turn you down. Yeah, I need prayer. We'll go in and have prayer. And I thought, I don't know if I'll ever really get the opportunity to do it like I really would want to, but maybe then again I will. But it's my time. I want to do something with it. I want to make a difference somewhere. Do you know that there's people that need to be saved down at the end? I mean, it might just be an encouraging word. It might just be, I've been in those places so many times and it made such a difference to people. I remember an old lady that was in the hospital one time and I could see that she was just frantic about something. She was just shaking and worried. And I come up and sat down there and I said, well, how are you doing? She was a Christian lady, but it wasn't forefront with her. It wasn't there. She was worried. Something was wrong with her. They was going to do tests on her that she didn't have never had before, and she was worried and all these things. And I come and said to her, how you doing? And she was this and this. And I told her, I said, well, I'll pray for you and the Lord can help you with it. And you know, I started praying and she was saying, well, I believe in the Lord. And I started talking with her and she told me about what procedures she's going to do. And I said, oh, that's nothing. This is what happens in that. And it'll be fine. It ain't painful. And I want to talk to her a little bit and encourage her. And the Lord will help you in that. And a little bit, she was a smiling and a laughing. And we was having a good time. And her daughter comes along. And when I left, she just told me, thank you so much. I couldn't get anywhere with Mom. I couldn't do anything. You want to do something with your time. You got time. Life is there, and we got a moment and a time to work out the things of our lives. Lord, help us that we use our time, that we use our time that we have for the Lord. And their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. It is just simply talking about death. You can't love beyond it. You got somebody to love, love them here. You want to give somebody some flowers? Give it here. You want to say a kind word? Say it now. You want somebody to know that you appreciate them and love them and your support? Do it now, because you won't do it. There'll be a time where you're not under the sun. There'll be everybody, but you're not there and you won't be able to accomplish anything. If you got someone that needs to be saved, you got time to pray for them. You got time to deal with them. You got time to talk with them. You got time to help them. You got time to work with them now. We have a song in our book. I think it's 409 that says something about the crashing of the ages as time and eternity meet. And I want to tell you, that's so graphic in my mind. That here's time going on at a very fast speed. This must have been what the songwriter thought. Here goes time moving on at its incredible speed. And he hits eternity. Boom! And the crashing of the ages. All that was ever done before. Everything that comes into judgment comes rushing as a crash would. Here it all comes. Everything that was ever done, every life ever lived, every thought ever thought, every deed ever done, every movement ever started and ended. Think about it. Every government, every way of society, every evil work, every good work, every war, everything comes crashing in as time meets eternity. Here I am in the great crashing of time and eternity. My life, my whole life comes crashing. Every thought, every deed, everything that I ever done. That day that I washed it all clean in Jesus' blood. That everything that I done from that moment, every comes crashing on and as time meets eternity. I want to say there's a valuable place here. You don't want your bad life hitting eternity. The crashing of the ages. It's so graphic. We've got time to alter our crash. Oh, we're going to crash it just like it. We're going to be in the crashing of the ages. We've lived here in this earth and we've had opportunity to serve God with great fervor and gusto, or we've had time to neglect Him as useless. We had time to make it the most or not. I remember reading this story years ago of a man. He told this story. He was a businessman. He was a young man. He was 35, best I remember, in the prime of life. And he was dying. He had made great wealth. He had business associates and men around him. And he lay on his deathbed. And he looked up at the faces and he said, "I know the thoughts that you think." Because he had been standing where they were standing. He had looked into the faces of the one that was about to go, and he said, "I know the thoughts that you think. You're thinking, what a shame that a man be taken in the prime of his life. You're thinking about the idea of what money must be lost by not being able to make the next business dealing or the next deal." But he said, "I ain't thinking that." He said, "I went to church on Sundays. I gave a certain portion." He said, "I'd give all that I own for 1 year to prove to God that I'd serve Him with a full intention. Because I never served Him with a full intention." Now about ready to go, and he went shortly into a coma and left this world that way. With wondering about the moments that he had and what he had squandered, the times that he had and didn't serve God with an intention, a full intention. I mean to do this right. I mean to be in the number that's numbered among those that have lived for the Lord. There was a scripture where there was those that came, and the Lord told about this, that they would say in that day, "Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not cast out devils in Thy name? And have we not done many wonderful works, marvelous works?" And Jesus said to them, "I never knew you." He said that's going to happen. Those were religious people. They gave something. But somehow they squandered their time. And never had the intention of really giving God their really their all. Tonight, make the invitation. Hey, you got time. you've got time to be polished. You got time to have the rough edges cut off. You've got time to change, to alter, to work, have God work into your life. If possibly I could think, I've given some, but if I give what I should, the Lord has something for me. I believe the Lord wants to call fresh, new workers to His vineyard. I believe He wants to call new inspiration of song leaders, new inspiration of preachers. You all been listening to me for a long time. I've been full time for over 20 years. I've been going around preaching. I've been preaching for a long time in my world. How about some fresh things? How about some new, fresh, somebody else giving? How about some giving to the Lord and find out what He'll do? And Lord will work. And it's to us, it's time. You got a moment tonight? You got places in your life? You got needs in your life? You've got time. You got a moment to work them out. You pray for me.